listening to At Home in Connecticut, your guide to all aspects of daily living in Connecticut. Hosted by Bill Pierce and produced by WTIC. News Talk 1080.
Good morning and welcome to the program. I am Bill Pierce. My guest this morning, Peter Albertson, Dr. Peter Albertson. He's from the UConn Health Center. He's chief of urology. And we'll be talking a bit about prostate cancer, as this is Father's Day today, and certainly an issue that many men are going to have to deal with or know someone who is dealing with it. Doctor, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here this morning, and we're going to be talking about an issue that certainly has been getting a lot of publicity over the years, and with good reason. How common is prostate cancer?
It is quite common. We estimate about over 100,000 Americans will be diagnosed with this disease this year. And probably about a lifetime risk is in the order of 14 to 16% of being diagnosed with this disease. Fortunately, only about 3% of men actually die from the disease.
How much of that is more just people getting it versus us being better at detecting prostate cancer?
It's probably the latter. Ever since the advent of PSA testing, the number of men who've been diagnosed with this disease has doubled in this country, and similarly in other countries of the world that have adopted PSA testing, they've seen dramatic increases in the number of new cases of prostate cancer.
We also hear commercials for drugs for BPH. What is that, and how does it fit into the prostate cancer discussion, if it fits at all?
Fits a little bit. Benign prostatic hypertrophy, BPH, is something that all men will begin to get as they enter into their 50s and 60s. These are the male menopausal years, for lack of a better term. And as men age, their prostates often enlarge. For some men, it's only a modest change in urination. They might find a little more hesitancy to go in the morning. They might have to get up an extra one or two times a night. But for other men, it becomes a quite significant problem to the point where they have real trouble urinating. They might need to go on medications. And in a very small group of men, they might actually require surgery because they're unable to void at all. So an enlarging prostate happens with virtually all men. Prostate cancer, on the other hand, is only in a subset of men. It's not related. Just because you have a big prostate doesn't put you at higher risk for prostate cancer, nor does it lessen it. But an enlarged prostate does cause your PSA value to go up, and that in turn could lead to a biopsy. That in turn could lead to a diagnosis of prostate cancer.
And the PSA test, certainly very controversial. There seem to be varying opinions in the medical community on whether it should be done, whether it should not be done. And I guess we recently heard one bit of research saying probably it should not be done. What does the research tell you?
It is exactly that complex a question. I think the answer falls as follows. The older a man is, the less likely a PSA test is going to help him. The reason is PSA finds prostate cancer anywhere from 5 to 10 years earlier than we normally would have expected. And then you need another 10 years of follow-up life in order to benefit from any of the interventions for prostate cancer. By that, I mean surgery or radiation. So therefore, as men move into their mid-70s and by age 80, the likelihood that they are going to benefit from screening drops off dramatically, and the likelihood they'll be harmed by the treatments begins to increase dramatically. That's why it's not as good an idea as men get older. Younger men, on the other hand, men in their 50s and 60s, we hope are being diagnosed with clinically significant cancers, and they are the ones we think will most likely benefit from treatment. But unfortunately, we have not followed our screening and treatment trials out far enough to know whether that's in fact going to happen.
But for now, it's probably best that the men in their 50s and 60s get that PSA test.
I think in the absence of any additional information in the immediate next year or two, it's probably prudent to keep monitoring the PSA. Mm-hmm. But men should recognize that they are very likely to be diagnosed, or they have about a 50-50 chance of being diagnosed with a clinically insignificant cancer. And therefore, if they are diagnosed with cancer, they should seek many opinions on whether they should indeed undergo treatment or possibly should simply observe the low-grade cancer that was diagnosed.
Now, can a prostate cancer diagnosis mean different things to different patients?
Absolutely. I just met with several patients yesterday, and the prostate cancer, the best prognostic parameter for prostate cancer is the Gleason score. A low-volume, low-grade cancer, a Gleason 3 plus 3 equals 6 cancer, often carries minimal risk of progression over the next 5, 10, or even 15 years. Conversely, a Gleason 8, 9, or 10 is a high-grade cancer, and these can be quite aggressive and can, in fact, spread outside the prostate within a year or two. So therefore, we have this extraordinarily wide range of different potential outcomes, and sorting that out is where a patient needs some help from a professional.
What is meant by the term active surveillance?
Active surveillance refers to the concept of actively following men who have been diagnosed with low-grade prostate cancer. The concept is that their disease poses such a small threat that, in fact, the treatment is worse than the disease.
Mm-hmm.
However, going forward, we don't know if that tumor will stay that way, so the point of active surveillance is to keep checking on it. We are surveilling this cancer, checking on it periodically, and if it should change its behavior, then we can intervene with either surgery or radiation.
And are those the only treatment options for prostate cancer?
For localized, in other words, disease that's localized to prostate, there are basically only three options. You can either watch it, you can surgically remove it, or you can give it some type of radiation or ablative treatment. But the minute I say that, there are different variations of surgery and there are different variations of ablative therapies.
And it seems that the prostate cancer is inevitable for any man if he lives long enough, but are there other risk factors besides age involved here?
Well, age is by far the most powerful, and we know that by the time men reach age 80, if I stuck a needle in their prostate, I would probably come up with prostate cancer at least half the time, if not more. So that's why we know there's a large pool of clinically insignificant disease. But the risk factors that are commonly cited are one, African-Americans. They have twice the rate of prostate cancer than Caucasians. A familial history, in other words, if your father, your uncle, and your brother have all been diagnosed with prostate cancer, there's a much higher likelihood that you will get cancer. Those are probably the two biggest risk factors in addition to age.
And what are your recommendations, again, on screening of men? Obviously, you say that men 50 and in their 60s probably should get the PSA test, older perhaps not. But what is the recommendation for people of all ages? When should people start being tested and how often?
It's probably prudent for a man to get one PSA test sometime in their 40s to act as a baseline.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, we know what their PSA looks like before they develop an enlarged prostate. Usually more intensive screening, by that I mean annually or every other year, begins about age 50. If someone's PSA is below 1.0, they probably only need to be tested once every 2 or 3 years. The more the PSA is as a higher value, and anything up to 4 probably justifies annual testing. And the minute the PSA goes even higher than that, that's often what prompts a urologist to recommend a biopsy. As you move into your 70s or 75, if someone still has a low prostate, a low PSA, a number under 2, it's probably not worth doing additional testing. The only men who benefit in the older age are those who have elevated PSAs.
Well, some very valuable information. And, doctor, is there some place people can go if they'd like more information about what we've been talking about today?
There are many websites. The National Cancer Institute has some, the American Urological Association, and certainly they should consult with their internist and their urologist, who is very knowledgeable about this.
All right, doctor, thank you very much. That's Dr. Peter Albertson, who is from the UConn Health Center. He is chief of urology. This has been At Home in Connecticut. I'm Bill Pierce. Join me again next Sunday.
You've been listening to At Home in Connecticut, a public service project produced by WTIC. News Talk 1080.